Lessons from the lay of Parshas Ki Tetzé. It is a pleasure to finally, after all these COVID days, literally it's been weeks and weeks and weeks, I have been teaching myself. I've been going into a little room and closing the door and been teaching myself lessons from the lay and sending it out to the YU world. And now I actually get to somewhat see through a plexiglass students and get to teach them, and hopefully they will listen a little bit to us. We have our pleasure to have what they call apparently chalutzim. Almost 20 students who came a little bit early to the yeshiva, and I'm able to give you a lesson. So thank you very much for pretending to listen to this message that hopefully will stay with you. So the beginning of the parasha has what is perhaps, and I mean this, one of the strangest occurrences in all of Jewish halacha. Ki teitze lo milchama al ovecha. So now you're going out to war with your enemies. V'nasata Hashem lotecha biyadecha v'shevita shivto. And what happens? You see a pretty woman.
Wow.
Right? You see this really nice, voluptuous woman who they might, by the way, have put there on purpose to get you to be interested in her. And you like her. Right? You see her. Eishes Yisfas Torah. V'chashkabab. Right? Chashatabab. You desire her. So what do you think the Torah is going to tell you? Like any Rebbe is going to tell you the whole year in Israel? Forget it. Right? You come to me, you tell me you have this girlfriend, and I say, well, what's the problem? I mean, you shouldn't have a girlfriend, Shana Alva. I mean, that might be a view. It's not a halachic view. He says, oh, I forgot to tell you, your name's Christine. I'm like, oh, that's a problem. This guy comes back from war, and he has a non-Jewish girlfriend, and now the Torah is entertaining what to do with her, and not to say, like, get her out of here. And what does it say? V'lakachta lo l'isha. You can take her as a wife. Shh, don't tell anybody. Right? We're in Las Vegas now, he said, right? I'm giving you a dispensation. You're at war. Now, what do you expect? But, wait. You got to do something. You have to go, toch beisecha. Then what do you have to do? You have to shave her head. Cut off her beautiful long nails. And she sits there in bidud, in quarantine for 30 days. She's got no hair anymore. She's got no makeup on, right? She's got none of that beauty. And if you really still love her after 30 days of crying, she's not in her parents' house, then we'll talk to you about it, right? And then, of course, the Mefarshim tell us, the psukim add, as we read in Kriyas Torah this morning, right? What does it add? It says, oh, and then if you have two nashim, echad snua, echad auva, so they said this all leads to each other. Because what's going to happen with this woman? It probably is not going to work out. Because why did you really initially like her? Probably because of her looks. So she's not going to like you. And then what's going to lead to that? Then you're going to have what? Ben Sora Mora. Right? You got to think of the ramifications. But my question for you today is a pretty simple question. And that is, I don't understand. Where else do we have in history where the Torah says the following? And I have even a better case. Take a case of someone who comes on the boat to America. The 1930s, the 40s, my grandfather comes, and you can't find a job in America. It's so hard. What's worse is in those days is that there was a six-day work week. If you were a businessman, you worked. There was no such thing as Shabbos. Sunday was the day off. Later in history, we gave off this thing called a weekend, where it started with Saturday, which worked very well for the Jews. So you would start a work in a company, and they would say to you, oh, you're one of those Jews? If you don't work Saturday, don't come back Monday morning. And there were many Jews like my grandfather. Boom. Every single Friday, they would go home from work, especially on the winter ones, when you would leave. You had no job. So the Torah doesn't make a dispensation there. It says, but if you really have no food on the table, mamish, you have no food on the table, you're good. You're good. Then you know what? No problem. Dispensation for you. Or I say to you, one Shabbos a year. One Shabbos a year, you don't have to do. Right? One day of marriage, you know, you're off. What, are you crazy? How can the Torah allow this? The Gemara says in Kedushin, the Gemara says, I believe in Chaf Aleph, that the Torah made this compromise because this is the hardest Yetzirah of everything. In future weeks, in Mirtz Hashem, I'll be teaching you business halacha, and my first shiurim will have to do with, I believe, is a very important point in business, which people don't realize. It's not all about the laws of business. It's also about interpersonal relations. Yes, with your non-Jewish friends, because many people have never, ever intermingled with non-Jews, what that means, but also with the opposite sex. Because if you think, even if you went to a co-ed school, it's nothing like that in the work world. And we talk about handshake and halacha. We talk about yichud and halacha. But says the Gemara, this is the Yetzer Hara, and therefore we need a way to get you out of it. But let's think about for a moment who this guy is. Who is the guy that went to war? Because if you remember from last week's parsha, we're told something pretty amazing. You know who this guy is? Says the Pasuk. The Kohen comes and announces and says, Shema Yisrael, last week's lesson from the Lev, why the Torah, you guys can search for it later. He says, hey, if you believe in Shema Yisrael, if you believe really in, right, you say it every day, at least twice a day, maybe more, maybe three times a day. You say Shema Yisrael. What are we saying? It's the ultimate form of affirming that I believe God is one. I close my eyes because that's so much kavanah. People will die Kiddush Hashem, they scream Shema Yisrael. Last week I told the story, of course, of Rory Klein, that amazing soldier, Baruch Hashem, my son is named for, who jumped on a grenade, and the soldiers that were there, who are not religious, said they never heard such a Shema Yisrael. They were in Lebanon, and they threw a grenade, and Rory Klein, who was the senior officer, the commander of this platoon, realized what that meant. And he realized that everybody was about to die. So he jumped on the grenade to absorb the impact so that nobody would die except for him. With children. That's what he did. Shema Yisrael. But, says the Torah, but if you're not that guy, and you're the person that says, Mi ha'ish, ha'yira, the rachalev, yelech v'yeshev lebeto, go home. If you're scared, if you think that you have too many sins, get out of here. I don't want you to fight. You know who fought in the army? This is kind of funny. The only people in the army were tzaddikim. Charedim. The ones that fight today not to serve in the army, especially if you believe Rashi Peshat that it was only a Mechemes Rishus, and we're certainly in a Mechemes Mitzvah because we're fighting for the land of Israel, they refused to serve in the army. These people were only the tzaddikim were allowed in the army. They couldn't have any chait. The Gemara says, who was this guy that went to the Eishes Yifas Toar? Guess what? Gemara Menachos. A person who, Sach ben Tfilin Shel Yashel Rosh. If you speak between your Tfilin Shel Yashel Rosh, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. Of course, what do you mean? We talk all the time, you know? Right? We have two separate brachas. Ashkenazim makes, Svaradim make one bracha. You're not allowed to talk between the, even if you talk that little thing you do. Imagine, it says you're not allowed to talk during davening. What do you mean? You're not allowed to talk during davening? If you did that, they don't want you in the war. This guy was a tzaddik. What's going on over here? Comes Rasvi Pesach Frank, who was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. And he said, what do we see from this? We see that if only tzaddik were in the army, and a perfect tzaddik is going to be tempted by this, we see how difficult it is to serve in the army. We see how difficult it's not just physically, the fear, of course, of being in the army. I have a son who, Baruch Hashem, is in Yeshivat Hester Yerucham. And this coming year, he's going to start his army service. I have great nachas at that on one hand, but I'm fearful. But says Rav Zvi Pesach Frank, spiritually fearful. Look what happened to this guy, this little tzaddik now wants to marry this shiksa. That's what she is, I'm sorry to say. This not Jewish woman. So Rav Zvi Pesach Frank goes off on a little side. This is when the State of Israel was established in 1948, the Chazon Ish, the Brisk Rav, everybody was against army service, but they wanted women to serve in the army. And religious women, there are some, my wife's cousin just started her army service, who serve in the army. My niece served in the Israeli army, was just discharged a few weeks ago. But then you have people, like probably my daughter will do, who do Shirut Lumi. You don't actually go fight in service, but you work for the country. So they spoke about, what about these Haredi? Let's have a Tehillim brigade. Let them say Tehillim for the army soldiers. Nothing. Rav Pesach Frank's idea is if they even put the uniform on, he was scared, what's it going to lead to? Okay, I hear. Enough for now. I don't want to get into the politics. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky, one of the great Rabbanim in England, head of the London based him, says, why? What's going on over here? As I told you before, nobody says about Shabbat. It shows that this is the hardest of all Yetzaharas. You have to wake up, and this is what I, you know, years ago before I was teaching this course in business ethics. So I sat on a panel at the end of the year which unfortunately they didn't have this year, obviously. You'll have hopefully this year. Where they bring business, it's the end of the year, and we want to prepare you for college, we want to prepare you for real life. So they brought a number of business professionals in. And they asked simple questions. They said, what's the biggest challenge in business? So the expectation is, you talk about, you know, money, stealing maybe, you know, ribbis, interest. And I raised my hand, I said, I think the biggest challenge is women in the workplace. Right? And he said, in Israel, it's not different. This is the Yetzer Hara. We're in Elul, Rabbi Yisai. Elul is a time for us to be real with ourselves, to wake up and to say, oh boy, how do I become a better person? Now, I don't want a show of hands, but I'm sure there's more than one guy here who has a girlfriend, right? I'm sure. A few boyfriends, okay, boyfriend, right? My year in Israel, Chatasidi Maskir Ayom, I had a girlfriend. And not one, nobody's mom here, don't worry, Dora. So I had a girlfriend. A waste of my time, 100%. I have to realize and say, this is the Yetzer Hara. The Torah made a dispensation only for this to prove to us that this is a tremendous Yetzer Hara. But I want to tell you something else. And this is the key that I want you to listen to. There's a Rav, his name is Rav Aaron Levy. He's a very famous Israeli speaker. There's a website called Hitabrut. He's one of those famous speakers there. He has a very unique voice. I think that's why he's also very popular. And he said the following thing. You know what this teaches us? This teaches us something called the marshmallow test. Does anybody know here what the ever hear of the marshmallow test? Really? No? This is like a thing? Mm-hmm. You heard of it? Good. So the marshmallow test, Stanford University, marshmallow experiment, 1972, delayed gratification. Walter Mischel, Jewish guy, Stanford University, when many years was in Columbia. He just passed away 2 years ago. This is what he lived his life on, this experiment, which many think is not such a great experiment. Because they took 32 children, and they put a candy in front of them. A pretzel, a cookie. They called the marshmallow test because they also put marshmallows in front of them. Because now everybody loves to do this now that we have YouTube. Everybody gets to watch this, right? And you can put a TikTok video on this, right? And what do? You put it in front of the kid. You say to him, I'm leaving the room for 15 minutes. If you don't eat this in 15 minutes, I'm going to come back and you get two, right? And they have, most kids are like, what'd you say? I eat it. Oh, are you crazy? And he found that of the 32 kids, I believe one-third didn't eat the marshmallow. They followed those kids. 20 years later, they all did better on their SATs, 200 points better. All these kids were better in business because they had more self-control. They waited for the final result. You look at those people, I could tell you many business stories, right? I'm sure you know them, of people who almost settled and sold their company. Right? You have the stories about Waze, right? Waze was offered half of what it got finally. You have other companies here in Israel, a number of companies, and they said, no, we're holding out. We're holding out. Right? Facebook had a similar thing. Won't be sold. Hundreds of millions of delayed gratification. These kids were found to have better BMIs. They had self-control when it came to their bodies. Now, it's true that they did the same study a number of years later, 10 times the amount of kids, and they found that the actual results were, it depends where you come from, that the kids who came from lower income housing had that marshmallow right away, because they're like, you never know where this is going to be. There's only one cookie now, there's no way there's going to be a cookie. I don't believe that guy. But what's the point of this? Wait! The Torah tells us, says Rav Levi, if you just wait a minute, wait 30 days, you can marry her beheter. Now, he doesn't say this, and it's funny because this is exactly what Rav Brodsky doesn't say, but I think there's a lot of things in Judaism that are like this. Right? There's nobody here. The Torah is so antithetical, for example, to Christianity. Christianity says, you know what the highest level is? To be portioned, to be away. Have no gratification. You shouldn't be married. Right? That's what, right? Priests can't get married. We say the highest level is marriage. It's called Kiddushin. You're basically standing under the chuppah knowing what's going to be happening that night. And that's a form, Gemara Kiddushin, right? The first Gemara. Shtar Kesef Kiddushin, Shtar Kesef Ubiya. And we say, yeah, just wait. Nobody's telling you you can't have relations, but it has to be with your wife. Right? Nobody says to you that you can't drink, but it's got to be in the appropriate way. Think about all the events of Judaism, the important events, they revolve around wine. Pesach, Davka, says you have to have wine. I don't care what your rabbeim tell you here. Purim, we'll get to my Purim discussion another time. But basically, the discussion is so obvious to me. And that is what? Hashem is saying to us, wait, that's what our problem is. When we are, you are a little younger than I am, right? When you're 18, 19 years old, you don't want to wait. Instant gratification. I know I have class now, but I need a shower now. I just worked out. Just an example. Or I say, I'm in the middle of a movie. What, am I going to go to shir? Let me just... Because it's the now. If anything is taught by this year of Israel, it has to be that you get and you understand, wait, you're not getting the Gemara now? Okay, you got to hold on. It's unbelievable. I've been listening to these series of podcasts called Meaningful People. I don't know if anybody watches this. I challenge you to go on because they're very inspirational. Some of them are very inspirational. And I was listening to one particular rabbi who's a famous Rosh Yeshiva. And you know what he said? He said, my biggest challenge in life is I don't know how to read well. The guy's like, wait, you're a Rosh Yeshiva? He's like, yeah. He says, when I go to a shul because I'm a Rosh Yeshiva, so of course they're going to come up to me and they say, Haftorah, I'm scared to death to do Haftorah. I hate it. I hate reading in public. He says, but you're a Rosh Yeshiva. He says, yeah. But you know what I did? I practiced again and again and again. Many of us come to this yeshiva and they say, let's go. Give it to me right now, right now. I want it. Give me Judaism. I want it 101. I want to be from. I want it. You got to work on it. Right? If I could use it as an example. This body that he has, it didn't just come like this. He's been working out. He's been working on it. You got to work on it. I always like to give the example of my wife. I don't know what happened exactly. When we moved to Israel, my wife became a different person. Anyway, what happened? All of a sudden, she started to do exercise. She started to run. She was running away from something, obviously. So she's running, running, running. And then she says, you know what? One day, I want to do a 10K. I'm like, okay, like, you never ran in your life. What? She did the 10K. And then she's like, you know what? I want to do a half marathon. Half marathon? Are you crazy? Do you know what a half marathon is? When I drive a half marathon, I get a little tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then she says, no. Now I'm doing a full marathon. She's done, I think, if I'm not mistaken, like 7 marathons. It's crazy. Especially if you look at me, you're like, your wife works out. Well, what's the answer to the question? You got to persevere. Instant gratification is not what Judaism is about. Even a Eishes Shifas Torah, which seems to be crazy, the Torah tells us, if you wait for the second marshmallow. Don't eat the marshmallow now. Don't. Sometimes, I'm sorry to say this, but instant gratification is, I want to understand shots, I take one of these out. I take out something in English, I take out my art school, I'm not even going to try to understand it, because the art school is going to give it to me in instant gratification. That's also not the greatest idea. If you're frustrated, I get it. But the ultimate level should be, I want to be better. I want to try harder. That's what Judaism is about. That's the bracha that Amir Tzeshem I give you at this first meeting that we have. Maybe we'll even see each other next week. But to me, that's what it's all about. And that's, by the way, success in business life as well. People who are successful in business don't necessarily take that first job. They don't necessarily take, you know, the first path that they thought, the easy path. You could take an easy path. And you'll probably be okay. But as we know, the people who are truly successful are the second marshmallow people. Are the people who say, you know what? This isn't the right time. I'm going to wait. Unfortunately, this happens in all areas. Some people get married too quickly. Some people, it happens. But if you want to be successful in where you are right now, and you're in Israel, you have to wait for the second marshmallow. You have to say, I'm going to wait it out. It's going to take time. I'm not going to quit. Guys come to me all the time. They say, tefillah, it doesn't speak to me. So they quit. Instead of trying over and over again and getting an English sitter and reading it, they just quit. It's hard to wait for the second marshmallow. It's hard to say, 15 minutes sometimes, I'm sorry to say, it could be 15 years until you understand. Sometimes I heard a shot over from one of my rabbeim. 15 years, 20 years later, I'm like, oh, now I understand what he was talking about. I didn't understand it now. My bracha to you is you should, Amir Tzeshem, get all of the brachas, listen to your abayim, hold out, get jet lag out of your life. And Amir Sashem, with that, you should be zoicha to a chesiva chesima toiva, and you should have a very, very successful year, Amir Sashem.